Let's turn over to Psalm 103. We're not going to go to Isaiah today. We'll probably take that up again next week or so, but for today, we're going to go to Psalm 103. Let's read the whole psalm. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, excuse me, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments. Hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. A wonderful psalm, isn't it? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this psalm. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful things that you have done for us that show up in this psalm so clearly. And thank you, Lord, for forgiving our sins and cleansing us and for your great mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you have put our sins as far as away from us as the east is from the west. Thank you, Lord, that you take pity on us and you understand our frame. You know our weaknesses and our struggles. And you are a tender, compassionate God. And we are so grateful and so thankful. And Lord, as we say goodbye to this aging year, we pray that you would help us to remember the wonderful blessings that you have brought into our lives. Lord, it's easy for us to forget those things and just kind of go on with life. It's important to remember them. Help us to do so today, we pray. Bless this time that we have together. Fill me now with your Spirit. Help me to speak clearly the Word of God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is the nearing the midnight of 2019, isn't it? And so we're going to say goodbye. What is there? I figured it out. 36, 48, about, what? 8, about 60 hours left, I think, in this year. I had to do some quick math there. So it's growing to a close. And we want to take a look today, kind of in retrospect of God's blessings over the last year, if we could do that. I think that's really important to do that. We might say, well, we need to forget about those things which are behind, like it tells us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. But we need to remember the context of that statement. And the context is that the Apostle Paul was talking about his credentials. And he just counts them all but dumb. They're just no meaning to him all. He's forgetting about those things, see. That's what the context is here of this, of that statement, forgetting those things which are behind. By no means should we forget God's blessings in our lives. We should always remember that. We notice here that there's a repeat in this psalm several times. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," several times. And, it's important for us to realize that when God says something several times like that, it's for emphasis, and it must be, we must take heed to that. So, we're to bless God. We're to be thankful to God and praise God for His blessings, for His benefits that He's brought into our lives. As it says there in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." We see again down in verse 20, "Bless the Lord, ye His angels." Verse 21, "Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His." Verse 22, "Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." So as we look back to 2019, we think about God's blessings, the benefits that God has given us. We need to bless the Lord. We need to thank the Lord. We need to be grateful and praise the Lord for what He has done. We need to make sure we don't forget those things. I think about in our church, we've had 4 brand new babies born in 2019. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. And almost 5, because Jude was born in December last year, right? Yeah. Just missed the new year. So God has been good to us. And by the way, didn't we pray that God would give us healthy babies and deliveries would go well? God answered prayer, didn't He? Amen. We must never take those things for granted, you know? Because it doesn't always go well with pregnancies, you know. And but we have 4 brand new healthy babies born in our church this year. I have great, I'm going to name them. I wrote it down so I wouldn't mess up, okay? Noah, Rebecca, Silas, and Luke. Amen? Did I miss anybody? I don't think so. Any of you babies? What?
George.
Oh, George. How did I miss George? That's 5. We had 5 born this year. See, I can't even count. Let alone remember names. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. You know, it's more than just that the babies were born healthy and everything went well with the deliveries. They've been born in godly Christian homes, which gives us great hope for their future, doesn't it? Sure does. I believe that these babies are going to grow up to be champions for Christ. Amen? What a blessing. Count your blessings, name them one by one. I tried to count them and I couldn't say all the names, but count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessing, your many blessings. See what God has done. And the last verse, the last part of the last verse or phrase of the chorus, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I guess it shouldn't surprise us, but it does, doesn't it? God is so good, and He has blessed us so abundantly. We've had two new families added to our church this last year. Amen? I know we're all excited about that. Godly families are a big asset to our church, and we're just really pleased about that. And we trust that we'll be able to be a blessing to them and they to us. And I think that will happen. And so we're looking forward to the future. Psalm 68 in verse 19 says, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Selah. I like to visualize things. I hold out my arms like this. "Okay, God, I'm ready." And He loads me up with blessings, more than I can carry. Somebody asked a preacher one time, "How you doing?" And he said, "Well, I'm really burdened." But the look on his face didn't agree with that thought. He had a big grin on his face. And so the person asked him, "Well, what do you mean? What are you, you're burdened?" He says, "I'm burdened down with God's blessings." That's what this verse is saying to us, isn't it? He daily loadeth, not just occasionally, but daily loadeth us up with blessings, with benefits. It's important for us to remember God's blessings in times of discouragement. We do go through those times. They're hard times in our lives. The psalmist had a lot to say about times of discouragement and despair. But I'd like you to listen carefully to these psalms. I'm just going to read them to you. I'll do it quickly. It says in Psalm 42, verses 5 and 6, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I," get this, "therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill of Mizpah. I will remember thee." Remember God. When you're discouraged, down, disheartened, remember God. We always focus on our trial or on our immediate problem, don't we? That's what we think about and consumes our thoughts. We need to change our focus. Whenever that happens, start thinking about God and about His benefits and His blessings. Psalm 143, verses 3 through 5. "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate in all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands." That's the solution to it right there. Psalm 63, verses 5 and 6. "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches." Psalm 77, 4 through 12. "Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. Verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doings. The solution to discouragement and despair is always start thinking about God's benefits in our lives, and it will go away. I don't know if anybody's ever tried that before, but I recommend it. I highly recommend it. In some of the following verses here, in verses 3 through 5 actually, we see five benefits that are given us by the Lord that we need to remember. They must not be forgotten. Each one of these benefits starts with the word who. And that, of course, identifies the grantor of the benefit, which is, of course, God. So we look first at verse 3, first part of the verse, and it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? I don't know if there's an order here that gives us a sense of importance or not, but perhaps I think some of the commentaries I read suggested that. But perhaps this is the most important benefit of all, the fact that we have been forgiven for all our iniquities. We must never let that grow cold in our hearts. We must never forget God's marvelous forgiveness, that he has separated us as far from our sin as the east is from the west. What an amazing thought that is. It's amazing that a holy, righteous God, perfect in every way, would be willing to forgive sinful man. That's such an amazing fact. Bildad in Job chapter 25 asks something similar to that. He said in verse 4, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm? Well, I think Bildad was right on that. Of course, we know the answer to that, don't we? The Lord Jesus Christ. His sacrifice on the cross. We see Jesus as there in Jerusalem. And there's a kind of a commotion going on in the city there. There's a ring of men standing around. And they have stones in their hands. And in the middle of this ring, there's a poor woman lying on the ground, begging for mercy. And these stones that these Pharisees and Jewish leaders have in their hands are ready to be hurled at her, crush her skull. And just then, Jesus enters the scene. And you know the story. She was a harlot. She was taken in the very act of adultery. And yet, Jesus was willing to forgive her of her sins. What an amazing fact that is. He said, go and sin no more. I think in the Old Testament, one of the most beautiful pictures of God's mercy and grace is found in one of the kings of Judah. He is the son of Hezekiah. His name is Manasseh. He sat on the throne of Israel, of Judah, longer than any other king. 55 years. He was crowned king when he was 12 years old. And he was the most wicked king that ever reigned on the throne of Judah. He was more wicked than the kings of Israel, which they were plenty wicked. Remember Ahab and some of those guys? The Bible says he was more wicked than the heathen in the land that God had cast out of the land. This guy was horrible. This guy had done everything imaginable. I mean, he was a sorcerer. He was he set idols up in God's temple, blaspheming God's temple. He shed innocent blood. The blood of innocent people flowed freely throughout the city of Jerusalem. He sacrificed his own children in the fiery arms of Moloch, the idol. Wicked, horrible guy. He caused Israel to sin. He caused Judah to sin and turn very wickedly. But something happened in his later years. We don't know exactly when, but God spoke to Manasseh and rebuked him for his sin, whether it was through a prophet or what, we don't really know. But and he ignored it. And so God brought judgment on him. And he was carried away to Assyria as a prisoner. And he was put in chains and he was tortured with thorns. And in his misery, he repented. He turned to God. He asked for forgiveness. And this is hard to imagine, but our God forgave him. And he completely turned around. In the few years that he had left, he got rid of the idols. He cleaned things up. It's an amazing story of God's forgiveness in the Old Testament. Oh my, we have a marvelous God that he would be willing to forgive sins. What's really more amazing than this woman taken in adultery or King Manasseh? The most amazing thing to me is that he was willing to forgive my sins. A wicked teenage boy. I won't tell you everything that I did as a teenager. And I surely won't tell you everything I thought about doing as a teenager. Because that was even a lot worse. But God forgave me. And I'm never going to forget that. And I don't know why. If I got what I deserved right now, today, I'd be burning in the devil's hell. But God loved me. He reached down and he saved that wicked teenage boy. What an amazing God we have. Tuesday evening, I'm hoping to hear some testimonies from you guys about God's grace and how God saved you. I think we'd all like to hear those things. Psalm 86, verse 5 says, "For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4, If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, who, speaking of our Heavenly Father, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What an amazing fact. Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. I want to tell you something. Every one of us here today who have had our sins forgiven, we are very blessed. You understand that? God has loaded us up with the very best benefit that we could known to mankind, and that is the forgiveness of sins. That is the best of all. Let me ask you another question. As believers, we need daily forgiveness too, don't we? Anybody sin this year? Oh boy, Daniel raised his hand really quick back there. What's wrong with the rest of you? Come on, come on. Admit it. Okay. My hand's up too. We need a job. 1 John 1:6, didn't we? Here we did. 1:9. I'm sorry, wrong verse. 1 John 1:9. Let me ask you, are you truly thankful for the benefit of forgiveness? Forgiveness of sins. We must not forget that. The second point, the same verse, verse 3, last part of the verse, it says, Who healeth all thy diseases? Now, the question is, well, is this talking about physical diseases or spiritual or what? Well, we'll talk about that a little bit. Certainly, he is the one that brings healing to our bodies. There's no question about that. I think we all acknowledge that. I mean, how many of you have had the flu this year, but you're well today? Think about that. God healed you. See? Yeah. See a hand right there? Okay. So, he does heal all our diseases. I was diagnosed with cancer in July. And since that time, I've had no symptoms. Zero. I don't know whether I'm healed or not, but I feel great most of the time anyway. And felt a little rough yesterday, but, you know, praise the Lord. God is working in my body. I can't say I'm completely healed. I don't know. Had another test then. Some of you got Lyme disease. And you struggle with that for years, but you're still upright. Sometimes people get Lyme disease, they're not upright anymore. Praise the Lord. So he definitely heals our bodies. Now he doesn't always heal us from everything. Sometimes it's not his will. But when we are healed, He's the one who gets credit for it. Make sure of that. You say, oh, but I went to the doctor and the doctor did it. No. You're all mixed up. If God used the doctor to heal you, who gets the credit for that? God gets the credit for that, not the doctor. Okay? That's how you have to look at that. Now you can say, thank you, doc. You know, that's okay. God's the one that heals us. But listen to what pulpit commentary says about this phrase. It says, in view of the way in which Eastern poets love to repeat their thought with slightly altered phraseology, it is quite possible that the text may read, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy soul diseases. Those conditions of frailty and infirmity out of which iniquities come, he says. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the disease of sin. You know? I think a most perfect picture of the disease of sin using a physical disease is the disease of leprosy. It was a dreadful disease. And I'm not going to describe it all to you again. I've done it before. But it was a dreadful disease that ate the flesh away. And it is a perfect picture of what sin does in our lives. But he heals that sin. Praise the Lord. Anybody been healed of the leprosy of sin? Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a great benefit this is to be remembered that God has healed our soul of the leprosy of sin. Another phrase in verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. You know, we've prayed for safety many times in 2019. We prayed for people who were flying and God protected them, gave them safety. We prayed for people who were traveling cars and God protected them. And Jonathan and Julie just got back from, and Mrs. Soria. Got back from Seattle this morning, I guess, and God protected them on their trip. And God does protect us. He's answered prayer. He gives us protection, physical protection, doesn't he? But I think there are a couple of reasons why this may be referring to more than that. Again, it may be referring to eternal protection. Who redeemeth thy life from eternal destruction, in other words. For one thing, this is a continuation of the thought in the previous verse, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And then also the very fact that it says who redeemeth thy life from destruction would suggest that there is a price paid for our being saved from destruction. And of course we know what that price is. It's the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. The redeemed price, the paid price for our sin. And so what is that then? It all adds up to the fact that we have been delivered from the destruction of hell. Yeah. See, if you're not saved today and you were to die today before the day was over, or, yeah, let's leave it there for a minute. You would go to hell. You would burn in the fires of hell. But many of us, I think most, maybe all of us, realize that, man, we didn't want that. I can remember as a teenager thinking, now this is for a while before I got saved, but I was scared to death of hell. I got saved when I was 17, but when I was about 14 or 15, living a sinful life, I thought about hell a lot. And I thought, man, I just hope I can survive until I can actually get saved. But I didn't want to get saved yet. You know, I still wanted to have some more fun, I thought. I didn't really realize what fun was. By the way, I'm having fun today. This is what fun is, okay? I hope you're having fun too. All right. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We have been snatched from the very flames of hell. Do you know that? Think about that. Isn't that a benefit? Boy, I can't imagine a better benefit than that. We've been snatched from the very flames of hell. This is a wonderful benefit that should never be forgotten. Last part of verse 4 says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Loving kindness and tender mercies is a basic attribute of God. God described his attribute, describes his attributes to Moses in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6 when he said, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. Merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. That's our God. The blessings of being saved are that we have the loving kindness and the tender mercies of God. Now, God has got loving kindness and tender mercies to all mankind in a sense, in a general sense. I mean, he gives food to mankind in general. He gives what man needs in general. And he, you know, lets it rain on, causes it to rain on man, causes the crops to grow and all this. Those are God's tender mercies and loving kindness and tender mercies on all of mankind. But specifically on us as Christians, we are in the center, in the very heart of God's loving kindness and tender mercies. It is like God's loving kindness and tender mercies are like the atmosphere, the air around us. We're surrounded by God's loving kindness and tender mercy. Think about it that way. See, it's all around us. We're just completely engrossed in it, you see. Then the word crown, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That word crowns, that needs to be looked at here too. Because one day, yes, we are going to be crowned. It tells us about that in Revelation chapter 4. But also, we are crowned now with his favor, with his loving kindness, and with his tender mercies. That's what the verse says. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He has given us everything that we need. In Romans 8:32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, the prime thing, of course, is that he's given us his son. But everything else rides along with it, you see. Everything that is lesser important than that, of importance than that, comes along with it, you see. It's a package deal. We got his son. We get all these other blessings along with it. His loving kindness and his tender mercies. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. Oh, I like that verse 4 there. Well, he's given us, in verse 3, he's given us, by his divine power, he's given us all things. But in verse 4, he's given to us exceeding great and precious promises. There are two superlatives there. Exceeding great, and then also the word precious. Precious simply means valuable, very valuable, like gold and diamonds and things of great value. Precious promises. And we can just stand on his promises. You see, this book right here is full of God's promises, isn't it? And because of that, it becomes, and since these are precious promises, valuable promises, doesn't this book become very valuable? Amen. Now, I guess this Bible probably cost about $30, maybe $40. I don't know for sure. My wife bought it for me. I don't know. But you know what? It's worth a lot more than that. You can't put enough value on the Word of God. Is that precious? By the way, I hope you'll read it this year. It's full of precious promises. Also, looking at this word crown, crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. This tells us of our new state as noble sons and daughters of the King. Adam Clark, in his commentary, says, changing the ennobling his state, weaving a crown for him out of loving kindness and tender mercies. We are crowned with royalty. We have the spiritual wealth and benefit of our Father, our Heavenly Father, the King. And 1 Peter 1, 4 says, to an inheritance as children of the King, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Couldn't we say that his loving kindness and tender mercies are a wonderful benefit to be remembered? I think so. The last phrase, verse 5, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, did you have good things to eat this week? How many of you had good things to eat this week? Yeah, everybody did. Of course they did. At Christmas dinner. God certainly blesses us physically in those ways. But more importantly than that is the spiritual blessing that he gives us. He satisfieth thy mouth with good things. I think there's a spiritual significance to this. Psalm 73, verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. So here again, this is the psalmist was struggling. His strength was gone. He didn't know what to do. And so the following verses 3 through 20, speak about how disillusioned and depressed is. But then when you get down to verse 21, he says, "Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou hast guided me with thy counsel, and afterward received me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." So our verse says, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." So I think here he's talking about how God renews our strength. When we're weak, maybe physically weak, but maybe just spiritually weak, maybe just emotionally weak, and we're struggling, but he renews our strength like the eagles. Psalm 40:31, we know that verse, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Let me ask you, are you tempted to faint sometimes? I am. "Well, he will satisfy you with good spiritual things, such things as the Word of God, such things as preaching from the pulpit, such things as Christian encouragement from one another." That's a blessing, isn't it? It surely is. I know there's been times when I was down and pretty faint-hearted, but somebody just said a word to me or two. It just perked me up, encouraged me in the Lord. You don't know what a word for somebody who's maybe down, how much of a blessing that will be to them. You need to remember that. You see somebody that's kind of long-faced and kind of having a bad day, you go over and put your hand on their shoulder and just tell them, "I'm praying for you, brother. Anything I can do for you?" You know, just be an encouragement to them. It makes a big difference. Psalm 27, verse 14. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Spurgeon is known as the Prince of Preachers, perhaps the most famous and the most well quoted preacher of all time. Most quoted preacher of all time. Spurgeon was very successful in his early years. He had a huge church, huge following. By the time he was 22, they had to move to the Royal Surrey Music Hall to accommodate all the people. But something horrible happened there that first day. The building was packed. 5,000 people in the building. And some prankster cried out, "Fire!" And there was a mad panic. Everybody ran for the doors. People were being trampled. 7 people died. Trampled to death. 20-some more were injured, seriously. It seemed like Spurgeon would never recover from that. He went into the very depths of depression over that. His wife, Susanna, said this, "My beloved's anguish was so deep and violent that reason seemed to totter in her throne, and we sometimes feared that he would never preach again." Spurgeon himself was so depressed. In fact, that wasn't the only problem he had. He had a lot of health issues too after that. As years went on, he suffered from Bright's disease, a serious kidney inflammation. He suffered from rheumatism and neuritis and gout. And he said this in one of his very low times, "I could say with Job, my soul chooseth strangling rather than life. I could readily enough have laid violent hands upon myself to escape from my misery of spirit." He was in the very depths of despair. And yet, somehow, some way, Spurgeon found strength to endure and get up and go again. He was only 22 years old when this fire happened. I think he died when in his late 50s. But he was a great preacher all those years. How did that happen? How was he able to keep going? Well, he found strength. And the one who gives strength. That's how. "Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Do you realize that God strengthening you when you're down, depressed, or discouraged? Do you realize that the strength that you get in those times is a very wonderful benefit that needs to be remembered? Think about it. Have anybody been discouraged this last year? Huh? A few of you, sure. Well, you came out of it. You're here today. What does that mean? It means God gave you strength. Don't forget that. It's a great benefit. So to wind this up, God's benefits are not to be forgotten. Think about the benefits of 2019 and far back beyond that. The benefit of God's forgiveness. The benefit of healing of the body and of the soul. The benefit of being rescued from hellfires. The benefit of his crowning and ever encompassing loving kindness and tender mercies. And the benefit of his strength in times of weakness or despair. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you just bless the invitation time now. I'm not sure how to give the invitation, but Lord, you know, and whatever you've impressed on people's hearts, I pray that you would help us to do business with you. And Father, I pray that you'd just help us to remember all the blessings of the previous year and this last year and beyond. Lord, we must not forget your benefits. For there are times when we need to remember those things because we're discouraged or down, and they will help us to remember those things. We must not take for granted or take lightly the forgiveness that you have given us through Christ. We are so grateful, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.